Involvement in politics at any level is all about preservation of your future and the future of your children and their children. It is about thinking ahead and not just caring about your own four walls. So writes Karina Schmidt, who is a native of Denmark originally, but now is American by choice. And she's written a new book called Voting, Because Your Vote Counts. And it is published by Sophie Publishing House. And Karina Schmidt joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Karina, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. So tell us a little bit about your own story in terms of your opinion about America and why voting is important and preserving our rights for future generations.
Right. Thank you. Well, a little bit about myself. I grew up in Denmark, just as you said, and have lived 2 years in Italy. I've also traveled to several different countries, among that three Muslim countries. So having experienced different cultures and having now been in the United States for 20 years, I have a decent sense of, you know, what goes on in different countries, and also being politically active and interested in politics, it's easier perhaps to compare what goes on outside our own backyard here if you have actually had some experience with other countries. I'm American as a mindset, absolutely. I grew up in Denmark, which if you were to ask the Danish government, they would say it's a fiscally conservative country with some socialized aspects, such as their socialized medicine. But in truth, it's a socialist country. And it's becoming increasingly so just in the last few years. They try to implement some initiatives to not entirely eliminate immigration from Muslim countries, but certainly limit it so to not progress too fast. And that has been reversed now. So why is it important to vote? Well, it is important to vote because without your vote and without supporting the parties that your political opinion aligns itself with, your voice is really unheard. If you don't vote at all, if you don't take the time to educate yourself on matters that are important in our society, that can be anything from, our school boards to our state attorneys. It's not just the presidential elections that are important. It's also who is going to run our local government. But if you don't take the time to educate yourself on matters and you just complain to your friends and family, nothing gets done. You are actually opening the doors for potentially the wrong people running your local community or your state.
Very.
So that's why.
Yeah, very true. All right.
Voting is crucial, you know.
Yeah.
Even
so
in our school boards.
Okay, so let's just unpack a little bit of this. First of all, as far as Denmark is concerned, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, these Scandinavian countries are held up as the model to somebody like AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who espouses socialism unashamedly, unapologetically. Bernie Sanders. They say, oh, no, we're not trying to turn America into Venezuela, but we are trying to turn America into Denmark. How would you feel as somebody from Denmark who has now lived in America for 20 years? How would you feel if America was turned into Denmark? Would we lose some freedoms that we have here in America today?
We would, for certain. Let's start off with the very basic First Amendment right that we have in the United States, which is a constitutional right. While they may say they have you have the right to say whatever you think in Denmark, in essence, you really don't, because now social media is, they're persecuting people from the right, and they're eliminating the spread of information grotesquely. Their freedom of speech was absolutely jeopardized in the most recent election, which took place on June 5th, where a Danish right left-wing politician was completely banned from social media throughout the entire election, throughout the entire campaign.
Wow.
And as a result, he never got his seat in parliament. He could have if they had given him the same opportunity to speak as they gave everybody else. Now, the media over there is increasingly leftist, far leftist. I'll give you an example of how they used the media to censor during World War II, and I'm unfortunately seeing the same thing happening now. It's sad to see history repeating itself so profoundly as it did during World War II. The only difference is...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I just want to say one thing. About a year ago or so, I interviewed for this very, very radio program, Dinesh D'Souza, who's ultimately from India. I'm sure you're familiar with him, right? And he's written books and made some great movies and stuff. But we were talking specifically about fascism, and he said one of the things that people need to know is that after World War II, when they, you know, when the dust was settling and so forth, the leftists decided, oh, we can't let Mussolini be one of ours. We can't let Hitler be one of ours. We must put them on the right and, you know, classify them as if they were somehow conservatives, you know, arch conservatives, but they were not leftist liberals. And he said, you know, listen, when Mussolini started making some of his progress in Italy in the early 20s and so forth, Lenin from the Soviet Union commended him and said, you know, I'm so glad you're with us, you know, a fellow traveler and so forth. So in other words, you know, and we always forget the National Socialist Workers Party of Germany. That's what the Nazis were. And of course, the Nazis took over Denmark in 1940 to 1945. So tell us there. I just wanted to put this in context because some people think, oh, yeah, the Nazis. Yeah, but they were from the right. Well, were they? No, not really.
No, they were not. They were not because it's implicit in the very name of the party, the National Socialist Workers Party. Even if you only get the that name, it's implicit that it stands for socialism. If you read Mein Kampf that Hitler put out in 1925, he wrote it while he was in jail in 24 and published it in 25, you will see so many comparisons between what the far left in this country, but also in Europe, are doing right now. History is repeating itself, and in terms of censorship, they have no scruples whatsoever eliminating comments on social media that they disagree with, making unavailable for other people to see. And they'll even tell you, this is against our community standards. It's the same thing that Hitler did. Although the way he did it was using the papers. We didn't have social media in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
We had newspapers. They are
and radio.
Known. What's that?
And radio.
And radio, correct.
Yeah.
They only made available through the propaganda ministry what they wanted you to hear. We all know, if we just dig back just a little bit in history, how the Nazis, the National Socialists, eliminated literature from libraries. They had long lists of literature, such as, for example, Einstein, that they didn't want people to read. As a result, they took him out of their libraries and burned thousands and thousands of books.
Mm.
There are books in our libraries today, or that are presented to the library system today, that they do not want to read, and they feel are too political. I experienced that with voting because your vote counts. I got an email back saying that it's too political, but they have no trouble whatsoever putting out literature on Che Guevara, on Fidel Castro, socialism, communism, and pro-Islam that they want to put forth. So they're discriminating against the conservative views in similar ways as Hitler did.
You know, just real fast, my wife is from Norway, and during World War II, one of her uncles was involved, you know, in resistance of sorts and so forth. And one time he was down at a train station, and he had in a bag, he had a shortwave radio. And shortwave radios were illegal Because through the shortwave radio, you could receive, you know, the BBC or broadcasts from other countries, but they only allowed the AM radios, and there were no FMs at the time, to my knowledge. But anyway, you could only receive the local radio because then the Nazis had all the propaganda on that. But through the shortwave radio, you could find out what was really going on through
they
the BBC.
Were made illegal in Denmark,
yeah. And so he was at this train station with his bag, and he saw some German soldiers, and he just kind of nonchalantly went, and he threw the bag over, you know, into a valley deep below where it smashed to smithereens, but he didn't get arrested. He did get arrested later, on, you know, for his activities and stuff. But if he had been caught with that radio, he could have gotten in serious trouble because, like you say,
maybe tortured. If they had found anything else on him that they deemed against the National Socialist philosophy or any kind of material that they would have deemed anti-Nazi, they probably would have executed him. Towards the end of the war, they would have. They became very aggressive from 43 to 45 when they were defeated.
Yeah, you know, that's very true. In fact, most of the Holocaust occurred during those very years that you mentioned. It's like, okay, let's kill as many of these people as we can, the Jews, the Gypsies, the Slavs, etc. Okay, so going back to the American situation, we still have a vote. We still can do something about it. So how?
We still have a vote.
Yeah, how precarious is liberty? How important is it to preserve?
I think it's absolutely crucial, and we must be very concerned about the voter fraud that we have seen in this country in recent years, fake votes, typically to the Democratic Party, oddly enough. It's something that worries me tremendously because we've seen many an article on how 5 million votes went towards Hillary Clinton. She lost anyways. But if they were putting in 5 million votes towards her, and Google is now saying that we have the ability to alter 50 million votes, we have a problem in this country of extreme corruption, too. We should be very worried about if we can really trust the elections, if there's this kind of discrepancy, because that means that you can register to vote, say, Republican or Democrat. It doesn't really matter, but your ballot is changed. Mm. Brenda Snipes got caught after the midterm election. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I went to.
This is something that we have to be really, really concerned with. We have tech geeks that are sitting out there tampering with our ballot stations, and that, as a voter, is something that I'm very concerned with because I don't want my kids to grow up in a system where you can't trust at all the government.
But let me say this, and I mean this very sincerely. Anybody listening to this that thinks, oh, well, then I'm not going to go ahead and vote because my vote's not going to count because a machine is going to alter it. You know, it's like the old joke. How does a Republican become a Democrat in Chicago? He dies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you think about that. Anyway, here's the bottom line.
I would never encourage somebody to not vote.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Get out and vote and vote your biblical values. Yep.
I encourage that we implement measures to recount all these votes, to go back and do a double check with people, to directly contact these people that have voted. Did you actually vote for so-and-so? And if they say, if somebody says, no, I voted for this and this person, we must recognize that there's a problem.
Okay, we have 15 seconds left, 15 seconds, so go ahead and give us the website, and the name of the book is Voting Because Your Vote Counts by Karina Schmidt. Website.
Voting Because Your Vote Counts, and it's available on www.sophiepublishing.com. You can also get it on Amazon. And
We're out of time. But thank you so much. So sophiepublishing.com, S-O-P-H-I-E. Thank you so much, Karina, for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.